Have you ever driven by an empty lot sometime, and then you go by it again and you see someone build a foundation and you wonder what they're going to build there? Then you keep going by and all you see is that foundation and they don't build anything on it. You see that every so often, and when you see that, there's some problem that took place. Some problem because they laid a foundation and then they didn't build on it. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to take a look at that this evening. I'm appreciative and thankful for the presence of everyone this evening. We had a good morning. We're having a good evening with the song service, and we'll start the week off right serving our Lord. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning at verse 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. And everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 12 starts off, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. We were talking about time this morning and redeeming time and how precious and limited time is. And we saw that God requires us as stewards, He requires us, He demands us to be a faithful and wise steward of those things that He's given to us, including time. So He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, this is not necessarily teaching in a public way or manner, but there's a certain time when we ought to be teachers. We ought to know enough to teach someone else. If we know enough to obey the gospel, we know enough to share the gospel with someone else. We sing the song, I love to tell the story. We can teach people with the songs that we know, teaching them the glorious gospel. So for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to be taught again. You haven't progressed. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. See, talking about literal milk? No, he's talking figuratively about milk and solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And we understand that in the physical world, what are you going to give a baby? You're going to give a baby milk. Are they going to be able to handle more? Not when they're a baby, but they need that milk so that they can grow. Verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So along with this milk that we need to have our senses exercised. It's not just enough to read God's word. We need to exercise our senses, he said, to discern both good and evil, to be able to tell the difference between good and evil. We need to have our senses exercised with our heart and our head. We need to be able to tell the difference. So when he starts in the next verse, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. So he's saying, we've laid these things, let's leave them and go on and grow up. And what is this, these elementary principles, this foundation? He lists a number of them. Repentance from dead works, that's part of the foundation that we build on. Faith toward God, that's part of the foundation we build on. The doctrine of baptisms, we build on that. Of laying on of hands, that's how they received the gifts in the first century. Of the resurrection and dead, and of the eternal judgment. These are all foundational things we need to start with, and then we need to build on. And this we will do if God permits. So, the Hebrew Christians had laid this foundation, and then there is a problem. They didn't build on it. And when you think about with this milk and solid food, or milk and meat, if you think about going on a diet, have you ever gone on a diet and you started off and you were doing good, and then something happened and you stopped that diet and you started going backwards? That's what these Hebrews had done. They had started, they had laid the foundation, and then instead of going forward, they started going backwards. And they were wanting to go backwards all the way back to the old law. So, milk. Was milk part of the Israelites, of the Hebrew diet? Sure. And he's using that as an illustration. And we can read about that in the Old Testament. If we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and beginning at verse 13. He made them ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made them draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. So here we see part of the diet of the Israelites, and milk was part of that. Meat was also part of that. As he mentions here, the fat of the lambs and rams, and the milk of the flocks, and the goats. Also, in regards to meat, that was part of their diet. We turn back to Exodus chapter 12, where the Passover was instituted, and the Passover meal. We know that they ate milk and meat regularly. And here in the account of the Passover being instituted, they were even told how to prepare the meat to eat. Chapter 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its leg and its entrails. You shall not let one of them remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn up with fire. Thus you shall eat it, with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So here we see the Israelites, the Hebrews, it was common for them to drink milk and eat meat. And the writer here uses this as a learning tool for them about growing and going onward. That is part of the objective that every one of us, every church should have, to feed each other, to feed ourselves, to feed each other, and not to stay at that foundational level, but to start there and build and go on. So let's think about what is milk and what is the meat of the word. A passage very close to Hebrews chapter 5, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able to receive it. So here we see Paul saying that he had to feed the Corinthians milk because they were not at a point where they could take some of the meat of the word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Peter says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So here we see, he tells them, eliminate this and add that. Eliminate malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, and add as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And this is a beautiful word picture too. He's talking about milk and he's talking about meat. And in verse 3 he says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's saying again, figuratively, we taste that the Lord is gracious by this growth that we have from his word. So what is milk? Well, it's for children, for one thing. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we see it is for those that are spiritually babies, spiritually undeveloped. Now, does that mean that a mature Christian should not have milk? No. A mature Christian is not excluded from milk, but it is designed for the babe in Christ. Why is it designed for a babe in Christ? Well, you think about a physical baby. If you give a baby, you know, a big steak and potatoes and all kinds of food, can they digest that? They can't digest it. They can't chew it and they can't digest it. Milk is easy to digest. And milk provides for growth. A baby needs milk for growth. And you think about the first principles of Christ. It's compared to the milk. And we need that. We need those first principles so we can grow. We need to repeat them over and over for those that have not obeyed those teachings. We need to repeat them for them, and we need to repeat them for ourselves so that we are reminded of how blessed we are that we've been delivered out of sin. The first principles of Christ, the rudimentary spiritual teaching, the foundational teaching, the building blocks. And there is a time when we are to leave that milk and go on. And that milk was appropriate for a time, but there's a time when we are to leave that and go on to other food. What would we call that with a baby? We would say they've been weaned. They've been weaned, and it's time to go on to other food. And as Christians, we need to be weaned from the milk and go on to other food. Well, if that's milk, then what is the meat? Well, the meat is described as being for the spiritually mature. Now, does that mean you have to reach a certain age or certain level? No. But you have to be past that babe stage. You have to be growing. And it's just like you take a young child and you see them in that growth stage, and you let them try this, and they just eat it up. And you let them try that, and they just eat it up. And they can take on more and more. And then before you know it, you're sitting at the table, and they take food off your plate and start eating on it because they're ready for that meat, that other food. Meat is a more complex food. It's solid food. It's digestible by those who are able to discern and who have exercised themselves to be able to partake of that. Now, there's a time, and when he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, again, back to this time element, there is a time when milk is to be desired and it is necessary. There is a time when meat is to be desired and is necessary. What are some misconceptions about milk and meat of the word? Well, some people will say that only the meat is controversial. The milk is the real simple things, and there's no controversy over the milk. Well, is that true? No. There's a lot of controversy over the milk. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, and it was already evening. But this is the milk of the word. This is the milk, talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But the people were greatly disturbed. So the meat only is not controversial. The milk is also controversial. One of the basic things that so many people disagree over is baptism. There's a lot of controversy over that. But that is the milk of the word, the beginning point where we go on from that. Another misconception, the mature never need milk. That's just wrong. The mature need milk also. 2 Peter 1, verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So Peter is reminding the people that he's writing to of the need for this milk. You already know them, but you need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the things of the milk too, the foundational things. Again, I've said it a lot of times. I'm not a sports person, but one of the sports analogies I've heard over the years, a lot of times games are won or lost on the fundamentals. They aren't doing the fundamentals right, and it's not some special elaborate play that they lose the game on. It's because they aren't doing the fundamentals. And we need the fundamentals, the foundational things, the building blocks. Philippians 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. It's not tedious for me to tell you of this over and over, and it's safe for you. You need to know it. You need to know it. Well, another misconception is that babes in Christ are the only ones that need milk. And we saw from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, that is not true. We must also develop the ability to eat meat, or our growth is stunted. And you think about, again, a baby. They've got to be able to develop the ability to eat more solid food, or their growth is going to be stunted. What would you think if you saw a baby, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. And every time you saw the baby, all they were doing was walking around with a bottle of milk. You'd think there was something wrong with them. And there would be, because their body would not be getting all the things it needed to develop. And the same is true spiritually. We need that milk, but we need other things so that our body will develop spiritually. Another misconception, milk is for the masses, but meat is only for preachers or elders or older Christians. You know, some people would say, you have a big crowd, just give them the milk. They don't want to hear the meat. That's wrong. We all need both. We need both. So that brings up the point, we need a balanced diet. We need both the milk and the meat. If we turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and beginning at verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. So the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, they did not have a balanced diet. You pay tithe of these smallest herbs, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. You want to make sure you're accurate on these little seeds, this mint and anise and cumin, and you neglect justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And he calls them blind. They've got their priorities backwards. You strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. And you just get that picture in your mind. You know, they're going to drink something and they've got a strainer there and they want to get this little gnat out of there because they don't want to swallow that gnat. But what do they do? He says, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Great big old dirty giant camel. You'll just swallow that. They had their priorities backwards. So we need a balanced diet. We need to determine when and what we need. And I try on my part to do that here, to have different levels, to have the classes where we can have discussion, to include things from very simple to more complex. And if we don't do that, we aren't going to develop that ability that we need to discern. We have to exercise. Sometimes a glass of cold milk might be really nice and it just might be what we need. Sometimes we need to sit down and chew on something for a while. We need to chew on it. And you think about a cow, it's got 7 stomachs and it'll chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. We need to chew on things for a while. We need some things to challenge our spirit so that we grow. We need that with nutrition. You think about talking about our physical bodies, you think about exercise. If I picked up this little microphone, this recorder I've got, and I did this all day to exercise, and then I did some of those, would that help me get any stronger? No. What would I need? I need more of a challenge. I need more of a challenge. I need something heavier, more of a challenge. And that's the way it is with the food. A lot of times we don't want to be challenged. And like with the exercise, you think about two things that are challenges for people is diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Oh, we all love it for a day. We all love it for two days, but then we want to go back. And that's the same problem these Hebrew Christians had. They had laid the foundation, they got started, and then what did they want to do? They wanted to go back under the old law. So we need both. We need milk and meat. We need to exercise ourselves. We need to train ourselves so that we can discern what is good, what is needed, what is necessary. And with the meat, it takes more training to receive it also. And this isn't anything hard or complex, but again, you don't take a baby and you don't go from giving them milk one day to giving them steak the next day. You have to train them with things in between, see that they can handle it. You have to give them a little bit at a time. And for us to receive some things, we have to train our hearts, we have to train our ears, we have to apply ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we go from milk to meat? It takes training. We have to study. We have to be diligent. We have to apply ourselves. And why do we do this? Because we want to grow up. We should desire. God has blessed us so much. We want to enjoy all the blessings that He has for us. We want to be pleasing to Him. We aren't going to be pleasing if we don't grow. And you think about any congregation. You think about the church that He established. Where does the growth come from? It comes from the members growing up, teaching others. Where should the next generation of this congregation come from? It should come from within. It should come from without. But when people come in, we need to develop them. When people come in, if we have families come in with children, we have people move in. We need for those young people to be developed. Why? So that they can carry on the work here. If there's no development, if there's no growth, then what happens? Then we have a problem. Again, we've laid that foundation. It's like driving by. It's driving by and seeing that lot where somebody's laid a foundation. Well, what's next? What's coming? And then you don't see anything. And it all starts with, we got to point our finger here, not at somebody else. It all starts with ourselves. We want to grow and mature. That's the objective. Again, chapter 6, verse 1 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, we do not want to remain babes in Christ. And when you think about this, this is not a new problem. They had it back here in the first century, and it's existed ever since then. People lay the foundation and then they don't build and go on. Well, what's one of the ways that we can change that? Well, again, chapter 6 and verse 1. We leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Part of the key is in that word repentance. We have to repent. We have to repent. And when we repent, what is that? That's a change of mind. It's a change of mind. It's not just ceasing to do something. Repentance is a change of mind. You can catch somebody that's robbing and stealing and put them in jail. They are going to cease that robbing and stealing. That does not mean they have repented. We have a change of mind. We have godly sorrow, realizing what our sins have done and realizing that we have separated ourselves from God. When we repent, when we have that change of mind, then we cease to do evil and we learn to do good. We go on. We do not submit to the flesh. We submit to Christ. We submit to Christ. And then our attitude is, Lord, what do you want me to do? You've saved me. You've redeemed me. You've snatched me out of that fire of hell. I owe you everything. Just tell me, Lord, what do you want me to do? So we have this change of heart, followed by this change of will, followed by a change of conduct. And that's going from the milk to the meat. That's what we need to do, every one of us here. How are we doing on that? I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. And again, it's something that we work on every day. The milk and the meat, we need them both. Have we taken in the milk? Have we started building that foundation? If we haven't done that, that's the starting point. If we haven't repented, if we haven't submitted to Christ, if we haven't been baptized, we need to do that. That's the starting point. Then once we do that, we keep building so that we can go on to perfection and grow and be pleasing and acceptable to God. If there's anybody here this evening that wants to take that step, make their life right, don't put it off. There's no better time than today. There's no better time than right now. There's no better time than right now while we stand and sing.